I want to begin by reading Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 through verse 19. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 through 19. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light, who delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased God that in him should all fullness dwell. I want to study this morning about the idea of fullness in Christ. As you continue reading in the book of Colossians, read over in chapter 2, there verse 8 and 9, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceits, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. As we read there in verse 19 of chapter 1, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. That is, in Christ, all fullness dwell. So think with me a little while about this idea of fullness in Christ. The word fullness involves the idea of completeness. There is no more than that which is in Christ. You remember in the reading when he talked about in him, or in whom, we have redemption through his blood, even the gifts of sin. Then in verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or power. All things are created by him and for him. In him all fullness dwells. We talked about the idea of the word dwell in our Bible study period this morning. It involves the idea of abiding or staying in somewhere. This fullness we're talking about here is obtained in the church, the body of Christ. That's what he said in Colossians 1 verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church. The body of Christ is the assembly, those who have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. We have been called out of the world into a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In John chapter 1, beginning of verse 1, John said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John affirms the same thing that Paul affirms here. In Christ, all things consist. As you continue reading in John chapter 1, there by verse 14, it said, the Word was made flesh. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was made flesh. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ exhibited, he embodied the fullness of deity. And today we can have fullness or completeness only in Jesus Christ. As you think about this idea of fullness in Christ, remember, Jesus was the promised Savior. You go back to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. The text said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Sin separated man from God. You remember sin in the Garden of Eden? Sin in the days of Noah? Sin in the Tower of Babel? As a result of sin, we are separated from God. We are no longer complete because we do not have God. Human beings, mankind, was without God, lost, condemned to a devil's hell for all eternity without Jesus Christ. In him, all fullness dwells. You remember God's call to Abraham and the promise of a Savior in Genesis chapter 12, beginning verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless him that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. This promise was renewed a number of times to Isaac, to Jacob. The promise that God had made in Genesis 22, verse 18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Seed. And Paul makes an argument based on this in the book of Galatians. He said seed. Not seeds as of many, but as of one, that is Christ. Jesus Christ was the seed of Abraham, the seed of David. He was the one that God promised a long time ago to be a Savior of the world. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 14, it makes a specific reference that our Lord sprang from the tribe of Judah. And in this context, the writer is using this to show that Jesus could not be a high priest according to the law. But in saying that Jesus came from the tribe of Judah, that is, he is the descendant of Judah, who was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, or Israel. His name was changed to Israel. One of the 12 tribes. But he goes on to say, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And so his point there in that context is that Jesus could not be a priest according to the Aaronic order of priesthood. But he was a priest forever, like Melchizedek. When there's a change of priesthood, there's a change in the law, the argument is made. But the fact that he sprang from the tribe of Judah shows that he is the one who was promised. There are many prophecies concerning Christ. One in particular, Micah chapter 5, verse 2, deals with the place of his birth. But thou Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Notice the phrasing there in the last part of that verse. Whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. Remember John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word God was God. In Genesis chapter 1, God said, let us make man in our image. There's more than one entity there in the very beginning of time. God, Christ, the Holy Spirit. Jesus existed in the form of the Word. And the Spirit of God was present there at creation. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. But Jesus was there. He is the one that's promised. And his birthplace is prophesied there in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. As you go over to the New Testament, you read about his birth. It says in Luke 2 and verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, it doesn't specify the name of the town there, but you read on down in verse 15. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherd said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. That's just one of many prophecies relating to the coming of Christ. The very place where he was born is specified. And that's exactly the place where he was born. When God called Abraham, he promised that through his seed, all nations of the earth would be blessed. And so then from Jerusalem, the word of the Lord sounded forth. Here again, a specific place is named. The word of the Lord was to go forth from Jerusalem. This was prophesied over in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 32. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see vision, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out of my spirit. And I will show wonders in heaven and the earth, blood and fire and colors of smoke. Sun shall be turned into darkness and moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord comes. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Jerusalem was the place. Isaiah 52 verse 10, Isaiah said, the Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. All the nations. And you remember that the apostles were told to tarry in Jerusalem in Luke chapter 24 verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. The promise of my Father. This was a promise that Jesus made to his apostles. He would send the Holy Spirit who would guide them into all truth. And so Jesus said, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. The apostles were there in the city of Jerusalem, just as had been prophesied. And after Peter preached that first gospel sermon in Jerusalem, people responded in obedience to that which he taught. That great sermon recorded in Acts, the second chapter. When Peter and the other apostles accused of being drunk, Peter made this statement. These are not drunken as you suppose. It is but the third hour of the day. The point Peter made was, we haven't had time to get drunk. It's just 9 o'clock in the morning. The type of intoxicating beverage that was available at the time had very small alcoholic content. And you had to drink gallons and gallons of it in order to get drunk. We haven't had time. It's just the third hour of the day, just 9 o'clock in the morning. But listen to what Peter then said. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. We read what Joel said in Joel chapter 2. Peter quotes that prophecy there in Acts, the second chapter. This is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. As you read there in Acts, the second chapter, when Peter preached to them, he talked to them about Abraham. He talked to them about David. He talked to them about Christ. The text says when they heard this, when they heard what Peter had preached to them, they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise, there's that word again, the promise is unto you and your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. As you continue reading in that chapter, in verse 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. In order to have this fullness that was promised, this fullness that is in Christ Jesus, we have to be a part of the body of Jesus Christ, the church. Now, with those thoughts in mind, let's make a few quick observations. Christ came in the fullness of time. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of woman, made under the law. Christ came at the right time. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, in due time. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. In Acts chapter 3, verse 24, it talks about the prophets foretelling of these days. Peter, being the speaker here again with the other apostles, said, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. There are hundreds, literally hundreds of prophecies that point toward the coming of Jesus Christ. And he came at the time that was designated. At the time he came, he had the fullness of deity. We've already noted this in John chapter 1 and verse 1. The Word was God. Jesus Christ, in the form of the Word, was deity. He had the fullness of the Godhead. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. We read earlier, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. As we talked in our Bible study period, there were many who denied the deity of Christ. John deals with these doctrines. Some contended that he just appeared to have a body. He was really just a ghost. Others said, well, he had a body, but he wasn't divine. But here, this passage says that in him, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. In Jesus Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells. Colossians 1 verse 19, as we read earlier, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. In Christ, all fullness dwells. He had the fullness of deity. He was God in the flesh. He had the fullness of authority. When Jesus gave the commission to his disciples just before he ascended back to the Father, he said in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, all authority. King James says all power. Newer translations say all authority has been given to me both in heaven and in earth. Now, there are no other realms. Heaven and earth covers all of them. He has all authority in heaven. He has all authority in earth. And as a result of his having all authority, he said to his disciples, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Remember, promise made to Abraham, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Jesus told his apostles, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Incidentally, in Acts the second chapter, the text there said there was Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. There were people there representing every nation. The gospel was preached to all nations. And then, of course, the apostles, and later the Apostle Paul, went about preaching everywhere the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 3, there in verse 22, the scripture says, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. It talks about the fact that anyone who would not hear that prophet, that's referring to Jesus Christ, should be cut off from among the people. The prophet that God would raise up. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22, he has put all things under his feet. All things. That word all there is not qualified. All things. Everything under his feet. That is, he has authority over everything. God gave it to him. Paul makes this statement in regard to the authority of Christ. There's God, there's his Son, and there's man. God gave to his Son, Jesus, all authority. But Paul makes it clear that the one who gave him that authority is accepted. God did not put himself under the authority of Christ, but everything else except God, the Father, is put under Jesus Christ. And here the text says, he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, full of him to fill it all in all. Fullness in Christ. The fullness of time, fullness of deity, fullness of authority. In Him are all spiritual blessings. Fullness, completeness of spiritual blessings. Ephesians chapter 1, there in verse 2. Rather, verse 22 we read earlier. Ephesians 1, verse 22. Put all things under His feet. Then you go back to verse 3 of chapter 1. Said, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Fullness of spiritual blessings. They're in Christ. Let me just enumerate a few of those. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. In Christ, we are blessed as new creatures. We are a new creation. We're described as being newborn babies. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Isaiah 62 and verse 2 talks about a new name. Gentiles shall see thy righteousness and all the kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which of the mouth of the Lord shall name. You remember what they were called? The disciples were called Christians, first in Antioch. They were called Christians because that's what they were. They were followers of Jesus Christ. They were adherents of Christ. They were called by a new name. That's Acts 11, verse 26. The disciples were called Christians. Why? Because that's what they were. It wasn't a name given to them in derision, making fun of them. They were made fun of, there's no doubt about that. They referred to as a sect. A sect is a particular group of people that teaches a strange doctrine. And yes, this doctrine was strange to the Jews, as well as to the Gentiles. But it was a doctrine of Jesus Christ. The apostles were teaching to all nations. As a result of their obedience to the gospel of Christ, they had this new name. They could wear the name Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, the text says, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Understand, the word reconcile means to make friends again. The idea of conciliation is that of effecting or bringing about a reunion, are reuniting those who have become alienated. They're conciled. Well, we are reconciled. The word re means again. Understand that mankind, when he was created, was in a proper relationship with God. Man walked and talked with God, but because man sinned, he was driven from the presence of God. And from that time forward, God had in place a plan by which man could be brought back into this relationship with him. When God placed punishment upon the woman and upon the serpent, he said the seed of woman would bruise the head of the serpent. The seed of the serpent would bruise the heel of the seed of woman. That took place in the death of Jesus Christ. Satan dealt what he thought was a mortal blow to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was crucified, put to death, buried, but he rose again. And in that resurrection, he dealt Satan a mortal blow from which he shall never recover. And so in Christ, we can be reconciled to God. There is redemption in Christ, Ephesians 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. There's that prefix re again. We are bought again. Bought back out of sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have redemption, forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. Those are initial blessings that we receive as we become a part of the body of Jesus Christ. These blessings that we enjoy now as a result of being a child of God. But then there are continual blessings that we enjoy in this life. We're born into His family. We have forgiveness of sin. We have redemption. We have reconciliation. We have all these blessings that are ours because we are in the body of Christ. Then we have continued blessings because we are His child. We have fellowship with God. 1 John 1:7. For we walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we walk in the light, we understand the idea, and the word walk is progression. You don't walk when you're standing still. To walk, there has to be action. Progression from one place to another. If we walk in the light, that means staying in the light, not walking outside where the shadows are, but staying in the light. We have fellowship with Him as well as one another. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing us. There were some discussions back years ago on the idea of continual cleansing. And I affirm to you, there is continual cleansing. Not in the way that some of my brethren described it. But there is continual cleansing. That's what this word indicates. Your translation will say cleanses. The King James said cleanseth. The suffix on that word indicates a continuing action. His blood continues to cleanse us. How does it do that? As we walk in the light, we continue to follow His will. As a result of this, we have an advocate with the Father. 1 John 2:1. John said, I'm writing these things to you that you sin not. God don't want anybody to sin. But because we're human beings, we do sin. And yet, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We use the word lawyer. That's the idea involved in the word advocate. One who pleads our case for us. We don't know how. We don't even know how and what to pray for. But the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities, helps our shortcomings. We pray to God. And God hears our prayer as a result of Jesus Christ interceding for us. That's one of the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ, an advocate with the Father. We're able to call upon Him as our Father and know that He will hear us. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Think about that for just a moment. Being called a child of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. The world's going to make fun of us. It's going to do everything it can to keep us from following Jesus Christ because it didn't know Christ. Scripture says He came to His own and His own received Him not. Jesus was not accepted by the general populace of the people. Very few accepted Him as the Christ, the Messiah, previous to His crucifixion. Peter acknowledged that He was the Christ, the Son of the living God. After the gospel was preached, there were many people who acknowledged Him as the Messiah, the Son of God. 3,000 people were added on that day. Later that number became 5,000, then it described Him as a multitude. People were becoming a part of the family of God so that they could be called children of God. They could have this blessed privilege and know full well that the Lord would hear Him. 1 John 5:14 said, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Does that mean he's going to give us everything that we ask for? No. Remember Paul said he prayed fervently three times for his thorn in the flesh to be removed. You remember the answer he was given. My grace is sufficient for you. God may not remove the problem, but he'll give you the strength to bear the problem if we'll pray. That's the blessing we have in Christ. And then, of course, there's the ultimate blessing. If we endure to the end, Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, he that endured to the end, the same shall be saved. Hebrews 5, verse 9, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Eternal salvation can be ours. We can be at home with God our Father and Jesus our elder brother with all the heavenly hosts. Paul would write in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Ever. I don't know how long forever is. Can't conceive of forever. Everything we know of in this life has a beginning and an end. But for those who are faithful, those who submit themselves to the Lord's will, have this ultimate blessing of being at home with God the Father forever and ever. Fullness in Christ. If you want to be whole, if you want to be complete, if you want to have this fullness, the only place you can find it is in Jesus Christ. Because it is in him that all fullness dwells. So the only way you can enjoy this fullness is to be in Christ. All spiritual blessings, remember, are in Christ. In his body. And the only way you can be in Christ is to be baptized into him. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, Paul said, you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. The only way you can get in Christ is to be baptized into Christ. Based upon your faith in him as the Son of God. Turning from your sins, that's repentance. Confessing Jesus as the Son of God verbally, then you can be immersed and the Lord will add you to his church. You can have this fullness that is in Christ Jesus. In him all the fullness dwells. Are you complete? Only if you're in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you're not complete. If you haven't been baptized into Christ, you're not in Christ. Just that simple. It may be that there are those in the audience this morning that need to render obedience to the gospel of Christ. If that's the case, you can do that. You can make your desires known. If you need to make confession of sin, you can do that. If you need to, why not come? Together we stand and sing for you, encouragement.